Well, good morning, friends. It is Friday with Jim here at Coast Community Radio, and surprisingly enough, my name is Jim. Ably assisted today with on the board here, Terry Wilson. Terry, thanks for being with us.
No problem.
Appreciate your ability to run that electronic device. Friday with Jim was actually conceived by Lisa Smith, and I've been doing this for about 6 years now this time, and happy to be doing it. And we bring various guests in and visit with them every Friday. And I'm really happy to have with us from the Chamber of Commerce, Kelsey Balensiefer, who is the event coordinator and publication director at the Astoria Warrenton Area Chamber of Commerce. Thanks for being with us.
Glad to be here.
I'm wondering if you could, before we get started on what you actually do and talk about some of the activities, whether you could tell us a little bit about yourself.
Sure, I'd be happy to. I'm a Minnesota girl, born and raised in Minnesota, and decided I loved the state but wanted to explore other parts of the country. So I went to school, got my degree in journalism from Biola University in La Mirada, California, and then ended up moving to Washington, D.C. for 2 years, where I covered national politics, and met my dear husband, Henry Balensiefer, and he lived out here and convinced me to move out here with him, and I've been at the Chamber since December of 2014, and it's been great.
Tell me a little bit about what you do at the Chamber.
Yeah, well, as you mentioned, I'm the event coordinator and publication editor. So part of my job, the majority of my job, I would say, is coordinating all of the fantastic events that the Chamber puts on. The majority of our events are in the shoulder season or the off season to encourage people to come to town during the drearier months of the year. And then the other part of my job is our publication editor. So I manage our weekly email publication and our monthly printed publication that goes out to our chamber membership, as well as a few other interested parties in the state and locally. So yeah, that's pretty much the gist of it.
Well, tell me a little bit about some of these events that you coordinate.
Yeah, we have 5 events that happen every year. We start off in January with our annual banquet for the membership. It gives us a chance to connect with the members and give them an update on how things have been going at the Chamber. Next, in March, we have our Unwind event, and this is a public wine tasting event that gives people the opportunity to taste and preview the wines that are going to be at our Crab Seafood and Wine Festival later in April. So we do our wine competition in the morning, and then that evening we allow the public to come in and get that awesome preview of everything that's going to be at the festival. So then in April is our Crab Seafood and Wine Festival. We have about 192 vendors at that event, and we expect anywhere from 14 to 16,000 people to come out for that 3-day event. We put on the 4th of July fireworks, obviously on the 4th of July, and we have our Great Columbia Crossing 10K in October.
Well, we've got the fireworks coming up here in just a couple of days. What is the budget for the fireworks? How much do we spend?
So the fireworks, the Chamber spends about $11,000 to do those fireworks. $5,000 of that is actually kicked in by our Chamber Ambassador Committee. They've been doing that for the past several years, helping us out with the cost of that, and we're very grateful to them for their willingness to partner with us on that. The Chamber Ambassadors operate our beer garden at the Crab Seafood and Wine Festival, and that's how they make their operating budget for the year. And quite a good chunk of their operating budget also goes to scholarships that helps high school students in the area attend college.
The beer garden, that sounds like an interesting event.
It's pretty fun. Clatsop Distributing supplies the beer at our beer garden at the festival, and they bring in some of our local breweries. Bowie and Fort George have been there in the past, and they also bring in the staples, if you will, the Bud Lights of the world.
Right. So this happens out at the fairgrounds?
Yep, our Crab Seafood and Wine Festival happens at the fairgrounds. It's always the last full weekend of April. And we have alcohol vendors, we have arts and crafts vendors, obviously food vendors. We've got the crab dinners, which are very popular. That's put on by the Astoria Rotary. We have oysters from the Willapa Harbor Chamber of Commerce. They come up here and do oysters as a fundraiser for their chamber, actually. So we've got a lot of great different things to see and do at our festival. We also have live music all 3 days from local bands, as well as some larger bands based out of, you know, Portland and Washington and all other parts of the country. So yeah, it's a really fun event.
And so when the event happens, what do you do?
Most of my time at the actual event comes down to troubleshooting. So we've already put in months and months of work to make this event happen, to make sure all of our ducks are in a row. So most everything that happens for me during that weekend is just dealing with little problems or hiccups as they come up. Every event is different, and there's only so many contingencies that you can plan for. So most of my time is running around and making sure everything's in place as it should be, and taking care of our volunteers. We have, oh gosh, probably 200, 250 volunteer shifts over the course of that weekend. So I, as the volunteers are out on the floor doing what they're supposed to be doing, I make sure to check in with them and make sure they have bathroom breaks and water and snacks to keep going. And if they have any questions or concerns that have come up when they're working, I can help them answer those questions. So, yeah, I log about 34 miles of walking during the course of that weekend.
And how much money does the chamber take in from that event?
Well, we do take in quite a bit. We definitely also spend quite a bit. We spend about $180,000 to put on this event. And actually, a good portion of that, about 80% or $150,000 of that, goes directly to chamber members that we buy supplies from, or chamber members that we hire for various services. We hire Howard Security to do our security. We hire Sundial Travel to do our shuttle buses that we run. We hire reserve officers from the local law enforcement to provide security for us. But then we also buy supplies at City Lumber. So $152,000 of what the chamber spends to put on this event goes directly to chamber members in some way.
Well, that's kind of cool. And another big event that you do is the Great Columbia Crossing.
Yes, yeah, that is coming up. It's October 16th this year. It's a 10K that starts over at the Dismal Niche Rest Area in Washington, crosses the Astoria-Megler Bridge, and finishes here in Astoria. The bridge is actually celebrating its 50th anniversary this year, so we're doing a couple special things to do a little nod to that. We certainly couldn't have this race if it wasn't for the bridge. I don't think most people want to swim across the river. So yeah, we have 3,500 maximum participants, and we are showing more registrations at this point this year than we had at the same time last year or the previous year. So we're thinking it's going to be a big year for us. I've had several people reach out and say that they're bringing their family because their dad worked on the bridge, and so they really wanted to bring the whole family to come and do the 10K at the 50th anniversary of the bridge. So hopefully that'll be a great event again this year.
You say the participation is limited to 3,500 people. Why is that?
Well, we actually have a very unique situation that a lot of other events don't have. We don't have any parking over at our starting line. So the Dismal Niche Rest Area, if you haven't ever been over there, is pretty small. And all of that space is taken up by the participants themselves as they're waiting over there to start the race, and first aid tent and water station and that kind of stuff. So we actually pay to shuttle all of those people, the 3,500 participants, from either the Astoria side or over at the Port of Chinook. We have a shuttle bus that runs from there as well. It does take a lot of time to move all those people, as well as the shuttle buses are one of our major expenses for this event. So 3,500 is kind of the sweet spot That's what we determined is the perfect number to be able to get everyone over there on time and start the race on time, as well as not have our shuttle costs get too excessive.
Yeah,
I might jump in here, and something she didn't mention, they only allow us to close the bridge, as it were, for a couple of hours. That race has to start at 9 o'clock?
It starts at 8 o'clock.
8 o'clock, and they have to be coming off the bridge at 10. And as a matter of fact, they have sweep buses. If there are any stragglers, women with baby carriages, people with pets, little kids, the sweep bus picks them up and brings them off because that bridge has to open up on time.
Yeah, you're correct. And actually, I misspoke. We started at 8:45, so a little before 9 in the 8 o'clock hour, though. And yeah, we don't allow pets at our event. We do allow service animals if someone needs a service animal to accompany them. But yeah, it's an all-ages event. We have little kids who would probably put me to shame. They're crossing the finish line right after those first runners. And gosh, I wish I was that fast.
Well, I don't know if he's going to be here this year, but there's all a guy that's on tall stilts does the race every year.
Yes, we do have a guy who has been doing the race for a number of years, and he does it on stilts. I don't understand how you can do a 10K on stilts, but he seems to be very adept at it. And like you mentioned, if we have people who cannot finish in the two-hour time window, we do have that sweeper bus that comes through to get people off the bridge. One lane of traffic is open for the duration of the race. So there's a pilot car that will take traffic across the bridge one way or the other. And yeah, it's a great event, certainly a unique experience. It's the only day during the year that pedestrian traffic is allowed on the bridge. ODOT has been a fantastic partner with us for this event and allow us to do this year after year. This is actually our 35th year of the race.
And so you work pretty closely with ODOT on that. How do you, what is the funding mechanism to run that race?
So the chamber actually funds its own events. So we make profit on our events that allows us to continue doing those events year after year. We don't ever want to be in a position where an event is not profitable, because then certainly it fulfills our mission of helping our chamber members and making sure the hotels are filled and the restaurants are full and that all of our chamber members get the benefit of that tourism traffic. But if the chamber can't afford to keep putting those events on year after year, then what's the point from our standpoint? So, yeah, we want to make sure the chamber can keep putting those events on and that they can keep benefiting our chamber members, both directly in what we spend to put on the events and indirectly in that tourism traffic and revenue that comes through.
Now, in the case of the Great Columbia Crossing, is there a participation fee? Or I mean, if I want to run in the Great Columbia Crossing, I would pay some kind of a registration fee?
Yes, that is correct. You can register at greatcolumbiacrossing.com or pick up a paper registration form at the Chamber of Commerce in Astoria. The base registration fee is $40, which covers the cost of your shuttle and the snacks and stuff that await you at the finish line. And there's also the $5 timing chip upgrade if you would like to have an official personal time. It's attached to your running bib, and so when you cross the starting line, it starts, and when you cross the finish line, it finishes. And there's t-shirts that you can purchase for an additional $15.
And Jim, you don't have to run. At yours or my advanced age, we can walk it.
That is true. You can go at any pace that you'd like. You can run full out. You can jog. You can walk part of the time and run part of the time. So, yeah, as long as you feel that you are able to finish within the two-hour time window, you can go at whatever pace you'd like.
Well, you mentioned the sweep bus that comes along for the people that aren't quite up to the two-hour limit. How many people get swept up?
It depends on the year. We can have really fantastic weather or really terrible weather, which, you know, can slow people down a little bit if the weather is bad. Last year, actually, we didn't have anyone on the sweeper bus. We had one guy who was very close to getting off the end of the bridge, and ODOT was gracious enough to let him get off the bridge and gave us a little extra few minutes. And so we didn't have anyone riding the sweeper bus last year.
Well, Terry, I'd like to remind our listeners that it's Friday here at Coast Community Radio, and Terry Wilson and I are talking with Kelsey Ballensiefer, who's the event coordinator, publication director for the Astoria-Warrenton Area Chamber of Commerce. Tell us about some of your other duties, Kelsey.
Well, most of my time is spent prepping for these events. Pretty much whenever the event is over, we kind of regroup as a staff. We recap, we talk about what went well and what didn't go well. I give a presentation to our board, and then we're already getting things lined up for the next year's event. Some of those things, our timing company for the Great Columbia Crossing, we book them as soon as the event is over, provided, you know, we're happy with the level of service they provided. A lot of paperwork throughout the year. Great Columbia Crossing specifically has a lot of permitting involved with Pacific County and the City of Astoria and ODOT and the Washington Department of Transportation and the Port of Astoria. So I've already done all my paperwork for this year. Thank goodness. It's a lot of pages of it. Just kind of coordinating things throughout the year. I have a pretty lengthy to-do list for each event and try to break it out into the whole year so I'm not scrambling at the last minute.
And one of your other duties is a publication director. What does that job encompass? And tell me a little bit about it.
Yeah, I am the publication editor at the Chamber. We have a weekly email publication that goes out to our Chamber membership. That goes out on Thursdays around 12:30 or 1, depending on how busy I am that morning. And that includes just information about what's been going on in the Astoria and Warrenton business communities. It includes sometimes a video of recent ribbon cuttings at new businesses. It includes news or new products or services that our members might offer or awards that they might have won, anything that they'd like to pass along to the rest of the Chamber membership. We have a monthly publication called Chamber Works, and that's our printed newsletter, and that goes out around the first of each month. It includes information on upcoming events and information on what's going on at the Chamber. Skip always writes a director's corner note to the membership to let him know how he sees the world. And it's a great dual job, allowing me to keep my skills fresh with my journalism degree, but also a lot of fun on the event side as well. I planned my own wedding and kind of thought that event planning was a fun thing to get into, and that's how I felt like I was able to tackle this job at the Chamber, and it's been great so far. It's been really a fun job. Keeps me on my toes.
So you organized your own wedding?
I did. Huh. I coordinated my own wedding. Actually not living in the state that I was getting married in. I did get married back in Minnesota, where I grew up and where my family still is. And I was living in D.C. and then partly in Oregon at the time when I was planning my wedding. So thank goodness for my mom for being able to be my boots on the ground in Minnesota and attend a lot of appointments and items on the schedule.
How many people work down at the Chamber?
We have 7 staff members, and 2 of those staff members are part-time. We also have a fantastic group of volunteers who come in and help out at our visitor center. So those of you who might not know, the Chamber puts on events and has a Chamber membership, but we also run a visitor center, helping people who come to town learn more about the area and what there is to see and do here. We have volunteers who come in for 3-hour shift once a week to help out at the visitor center and help direct people and answer their questions about, you know, great places to find seafood in town or what's the column and how do I get there. And we're always looking for more volunteers to help out at the visitor center. So if anyone's interested, feel free to give us a call down at the Chamber, and we'll have you talk to our visitor services manager, Christina, and she'll have you come in and do kind of a trial run and be able to see what it's like. And if you like it, come on back.
What's the telephone number down there?
503-325-6311.
6311. I can remember that.
Can I throw in something, Jim?
If you would,
please. If you want to see busy, you really want to see busy, you should visit the Chamber on the week before the Great Columbia Crossing. Because remember, 3,500 participants, that's a possibility of 3,500, if nothing else, t-shirts. They've got boxes and boxes and boxes of stuff ready to put this on. And yeah, that's it's busy down there. And I'll bet you it's really neat having the new building.
Yes, we do have two buildings down there, one of which was the old Bergeson Construction Building. And that building has actually made its rounds through several other businesses in town as well. But yeah, we have packet pickup there for the 3 days before the race. So conceivably, all 3,500 of those people come through our door, pick up their running bib, safety pins to attach their bib to their shirt, a t-shirt if they ordered it, and everyone also receives 5 clam bucks. And those are little wooden tokens that they can spend just like cash, $1 each, at participating chamber member businesses. So we give them a list of the businesses. It can be retail outlets, restaurants. The Clatsop County Historical Society always puts their museums on the list. So it's a way for the chamber to encourage people who come to visit for the Great Columbia Crossing to also get out in the community and stop by some of our area businesses and spend money with them, explore. There's always old favorites on the list, and we have people who come back year after year and say, oh, I went to that Clam Bucks location last year, it was great. But we always get some new participants every year too. Winecraft down on the riverfront has already signed up to be on the Clam Bucks list this year. They're a newer chamber member and a newer business. They just celebrated their 1 year anniversary. And so yeah, they're already signed up for the list for this fall and excited to have people come into their business and spend their Great Columbia Crossing Clam Bucks with them.
What's the next event you've got coming up, Kelsey?
Well, we've got the fireworks coming up on Monday. The chamber, like you mentioned, puts on those fireworks. And for people in town enjoying the 4th of July festivities, they can head on over to Warrenton first. A volunteer committee of the Warrenton Business Association organizes fantastic community events over there. They have a barbecue that the Warrenton Firefighters Association hosts. They have a car show and a motorcycle show. They have children's games and bicycle decorating, and the kids can then actually ride their bicycles in the parade. The parade happens at 3 p.m. Lots of area businesses get involved with that. And the chamber doesn't put that event on. Like I said, that's the folks over with the Warrenton Business Association and their volunteer committee that organize that. But then once folks are done over in Warrenton, they can come over here into Astoria and grab a blanket or a chair and some snacks and sit down along the waterfront to watch the fireworks at dark.
So they have a parade in Warrenton, but no fireworks. Is that correct?
That is correct. Yep.
What's that parade like?
Busy. that parade is very well attended. We've got a lot of families, a lot of children. My husband and I will be in the parade. We'll be riding on one of the Electro aircraft tugs, which always people get a kick out of, something you don't see every day. And all sorts of dignitaries from the community are involved in that. The regatta float is always in that parade. Area businesses, I've heard Fred Meyer is going to be doing a float this year. So yeah, lots of people lining the parade route. Lots of candy getting thrown, and definitely a community spirit. Just a lot of people excited about their community and excited about the 4th of July, and it's just a great event.
What time does the parade get started?
The parade starts at 3 p.m., and people start lining up earlier than that, that's for sure. They put their chairs out on the curb and stake out their prime spots along the parade route early in the day.
And the parade starts where and ends where?
I don't remember the parade route exactly off the top of my head, but I believe it starts, everyone leaves they have to check in at the grade school, and then they go down Main, and they turn back up and end at the grade school. So it's kind of a circuitous route. But people can check out the City of Warrenton website for more information about the parade and the exact parade route as well.
And then after we get the fireworks and the parade, then what else do you have coming up this fall?
The Great Columbia Crossing. That's the next thing on our list in October on the 16th. So, yeah, once we get through the summer months, take a little bit of a, a reprieve and get everything organized for the Great Columbia Crossing.
And then once you're done with that, you'll be gearing up for the next event, which is?
That would be the annual banquet in January, and then already focusing on the Crab Festival coming up in April, too. So it's a year-round job. It's always exciting and always fun, and I'm also helping the Warrenton Business Association and Regatta do a brand-new Warrenton Regatta event. They're going to do a free concert in the community park on Friday evening of Regatta weekend. So Regatta and the Warrenton Business Association and the Chamber a little bit is helping out with that and hoping it will be a great annual regatta tradition in the years to come, but this is the first year it will be happening.
Tell me a little bit about the Chamber Banquet. That's quite an event, isn't it?
Yeah, we have that out at the Astoria Golf and Country Club. And we invite our membership to attend. We get about 200 people who come out to that event. And we give our awards presentation. We give an award to community servants who are giving back to their community. We call them the George Award and the Richard Ford Award, one for Astoria and one for Warrenton. So it's a really great night to highlight the wonderful things happening in this community and what the Chamber is doing and give all of our membership a recap on everything that's happened in the past year.
And then an update for what's coming up the next year. So what have you got any plans to do anything kind of a little out of the ordinary up the Chamber?
Well, we're always trying to keep things fresh and new with our events. Whenever we evaluate our events after they end, we always try to say, are we making sure that this event stays fresh and making sure that it's still interesting to people who have been coming to this event for 30 years. So we're always trying to evaluate and make sure that there's something new for people and some way to keep our events fresh. So it's an ongoing process.
Besides the Columbia Crossing, are you planning anything special about the 50 years of the Megla Bridge?
Well, actually, our annual banquet in January of this past year, we did a bridge theme. So we actually had little miniature bridges as part of our table centerpiece. And my boss, Skip, dressed up like a bridge construction worker. And we had several people there wearing Great Columbia Crossing t-shirts. So we always try to do a fun theme at the banquet. And this year we thought, what better theme than the anniversary of the bridge? So it was a great event.
And Jim, you just thought Skip sat in his office and took a nap. The fireworks here in Astoria, where's it going to be? Pier 17?
They launch off of the East End Mooring Basin, but you can see them from most areas of town.
So your boss is the Chamber Director, Skip, Mr. Skip Hauke. Tell me a little bit about Skip, and we just got about a minute left, but tell us a little bit about your boss.
Well, he's a great guy. He's been in town pretty much his entire life, lived in Astoria, which means that he knows everyone. And someone in town, no matter who you are, you know someone who's worked for Skip at one point or another.
Right.
My own mother-in-law used to work at Skip back in the day at his market. So he's a great guy. He's very community involved. Parts of lots of different organizations and really committed to making sure that this place is as good as it can be through his job at the Chamber and just through his personal life as well.
Well, Kelsey, it's been a real treat having you with us here today at the Friday show. We've been visiting with Kelsey Ballensiefer, who's the event coordinator and publication director at the Astoria Warrenton Area Chamber of Commerce. Appreciate you being with us.
I was very glad to be here. Thank you for having me.
And I'd like to invite our listeners to stick around for Albert Smith's always wonderful Friday folk show. And we'll be back here next Friday with another event of community interest. So thanks for being with us, and goodbye.